You're listening to the Colorado Springs Real Estate Investing Podcast, brought to you by RECO, your local guide for all things real estate investing in Colorado. Hey, Colorado Springs, it's Jenny Bayless, and I am here with my co-host today, Chris Lopez. Chris, how's it going?
Hey, Jenny, I'm excited for today's podcast.
Yeah, me too. So just to give a little bit of background on our guest, I'm extremely excited to have her on. She is just a wealth of knowledge. Her name is Gretchen Place, and she and I met several years ago. And we've just stayed in touch over the past couple of years. We have very similar investing, mindset, I would say, as one another, but we had totally different strategies. And that's kind of why, you know, investing in real estate is so cool, because you can have totally different ways to get to the same result. And Gretchen is just extremely creative, and she's done a phenomenal job investing in Colorado Springs and now Pueblo. So we're going to ask her some questions related to that. Gretchen, how's it going?
Good. I'm glad to be here with you today.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on and taking the time to share with everyone your investment story. Yeah. So tell us a little bit how you got started in Colorado Springs investing. And, you live in a suburb of Denver. So like many, many people, I think that Denver is very expensive. So you start to look elsewhere. So yeah, tell everyone a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's about how it was. We, my husband and I started looking at real estate probably 8 years before we actually jumped in. And we looked in Denver, and we just didn't see anything that was going to be a home run for us. So we started to look in Colorado Springs a little, and we bought a house with a cottage behind it, and kind of like that model, because you have, you know, two units, and if one is vacant, then the other one pays the mortgage. Has never been vacant, luckily, and turned out to be a great investment, still is a great property. And then we purchased a triplex not too far from that first property. And the triplex is a Victorian with a three-bedroom, two-bath in the front, one-bedroom, one-bath apartment attached to the back of it, and then a little 350-square-foot cottage. If you can imagine how small that is, but it's adorable. And those, again, Colorado Springs is great. They're always full and always have more people than I can imagine, looking to rent them when they do have a vacancy. After that, we decided to get a little more creative. The market was starting to tighten up a little, and this was probably, I think, 2019. Mm-hmm. We bought a four-bedroom, it was really one bathroom. They called it a two-bath. The basement had a shower and sink attached to a vacated sump pump. So
I guess that's a creative use of the word bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. So we purchased that. It had a three-car garage that was awesome and super solid. So we converted the three-car garage into a two-bedroom, one-bath ADU. And that is also an awesome property. We love it. The front house is now a real two-bath, four-bedroom, and then the ADU. So you can kind of let that sit for a while. And
I want to interrupt here because, ADUs are just a very hot topic. And a lot of people, are in a similar situation where they convert a garage or another structure to an ADU. I know at least in Denver, it's often way harder than people expect, and very few people do it. Could you spend a minute and just talk about the conversion process for that? Because that's very rare, and it's cool that you've done it.
Mm-hmm. I think the main thing you need to be aware of is all the zoning. So it was already zoned R2. The garage was away and, far enough from the lot lines that we could legally convert it. The biggest expense is running your sewer line, you know, and getting water to it, the sewer and water. That was, you know, probably the biggest pain point, as well as dealing with contractors, which unfortunately
that's part of the deal. So
with
the sewer connection and the water and sewer hookup, did you do that through the main house, or is that like straight to the main tap on the city line?
So we did it through the main house. So they do share water and sewer, but all of our properties, all our house cottage properties share water.
Yeah.
They have separate electric. But we ran it through the house, and we actually, because of the way the house was built, we had to have I think it's called a sewage ejector system installed, so that it would, you know, be strong enough to propel the sewage out to the street. So that was quite the learning experience, to be honest. It's a great project. Probably halfway through, I would have been crying on your shoulder, but in the long run, it's a great project. A cottage is amazing. It's a great location. It's out there in Pleasant Valley, which is kind of between Old Colorado City and Manitou.
Okay.
It was challenging for sure, but it's a great project. The other interesting thing about the property is that cottage there's kind of a little road that runs behind the main house. And so the cottage had full access, you know, to the road.
Okay.
So there's no shared driveway. The only time the two properties kind of have to interface is garbage. The back house has to bring their garbage up through the front, and mail's delivered at the front of the main house.
Oh, that's not too much. Too bad at all. All right, last question on this. I know you won't get to Pueblo, Jenny, but sorry.
I have some questions on this too. So okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Good. If you don't mind sharing, just what was like the approximate like ballpark budget and ballpark timeline for completing that conversion?
The budget we had budgeted, I think about 85, and we probably were at 110 when we were done. Part of that was the basement of the main house and some touch-ups to the main house. The main house, we put new flooring in the whole house. It was a really cute little kind of grandma, pristine 50s house.
Yeah.
And so we did new flooring. We did paint. The cabinets are kind of the original. The person who owned it was a master carpenter. So he had created all these cabinets by hand. We were even able to reuse some of the wood that he had stored in the garage for the kitchen island in the cottage. So it was kind of fun. You know, that was kind of fun. And then we put a full bathroom with a shower that didn't empty into a sump pump in the basement. And
real plumbing?
moved the laundry around.
Okay.
Oh, and we also put in two egress windows because... there were bedrooms down there, but they didn't have egress windows, and we just don't ever feel comfortable putting somebody in a basement bedroom without, you know, proper egress.
Totally agree. All right, Jenny, I know you had questions. I'll let you fire away.
Yeah, so I will let the audience know I've seen, I think, pretty much photos of all of your all your properties before, Gretchen, and they're gorgeous. Like, you guys do really, really good work on updating them and everything. So, you know, I just love how you guys do the spaces and everything. So I just wanted to kind of put a little plug out there for that. But would you be able to kind of share with everyone, you know, I think it might help coming from a different perspective. What have you seen in terms of the Colorado Springs rental market over the past couple of years that you've been investing there, just, you know, in terms of demand and rent rates and just, you know, kind of your whole overarching experience over the last couple of years?
The demand is, I would say my biggest problem, and we do manage our properties ourselves. My biggest problem is finding good tenants because I get so many responses. Mm-hmm. The last time I put the 350 square foot house up, I got 500.
Oh my goodness.
And I just go through Zillow and TurboTenant. And I think some of those are doubles and that kind of thing. But it's overwhelming how many how many responses you'll get. Now they're not all qualified, and that, you know, that's part of the deal is going through and making sure they're qualified, and we're super careful and haven't, knock on wood, ever had issues with any of our tenants. But it continues to be strong. I mean, and I think the rent rates have gone up so much that, I mean, and we usually, you know, if we have a good tenant in, we don't raise to market just because, I don't know. Yep. we'll go up a little bit. Usually the first year I don't go up at all if they're on time and everything. And then there's definitely, you know, room to move. But if I've got a good tenant in place, you know, I'll raise a little bit, but to cover our extra costs. But I look at the rentometer and I'm blown away at what I could be charging them.
Yeah. I think we have a similar philosophy. Why rock the boat if someone's a great tenant? Like, you know what you got, you don't know what you don't have, you know, if you were to bump them out of that. So, do you do any sort of like utility bill back, for your shared utilities, or do you just eat the costs, for those?
So I do bill back. I used to get the bills and break them up according to how many people are in each unit, and that was really a pain. So now I have a surcharge on each unit based on, you know, previous, and some years I lose a little bit, some I gain a little bit, but honestly, I mean, all of our properties were able to pay the mortgage with one unit. So, I guess I could be more on top of that, but I don't need to. And my time's more important.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's completely valid. Brain power is worth something as well. So, yeah. So that was pretty much my remaining questions for Colorado Springs. I don't want to jump the gun if Chris has any more before we go into Pueblo.
No, that was the main stuff, because we just don't, you know, we don't hear about those conversions at all. No, let's move over to Pueblo, because I know a lot of investors are going down there and there's lots of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when did you enter Pueblo? What was your plan going into it? And, you know, where is it now?
Pueblo, we started looking probably the summer of 2021, and looked at a couple different properties. We had a specific use in mind, so I wanted specific neighborhoods, and wanted a multi-unit property. We're using it as, medium-term furnished rentals, primarily for healthcare and nurses. So it needed to be close to the hospital, and all of that kind of thing. So we ended up purchasing a place in September, and it's a small, the property is a little unusual. And I don't know, you know, I think it's ideal for this use, because it doesn't have much of a yard. Which would just result in landscaping costs and worries and, you know, trying to get people to do that. And it is a small 720 square foot house. That's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. And then it had a larger house on the same, it's actually 2 lots, but they're adjoining and they share a water line. And that 2-story house, is about 1650 square feet, maybe. And we could see right away that it could be converted into two units, an upstairs and a downstairs. So we were able to make that happen.
That's great. What drew you to Pueblo?
Well, I think the springs, I just wasn't seeing the type of returns that we were able to get in Colorado Springs before. Mm-hmm. So maybe greed. actually, after doing this furnished rental, one of our properties, the triplex, is actually pretty close to the hospital in Colorado Springs. And that could be a possibility there too. Right now it's full and my tenants are great. So again, why rock the boat? Yeah. And I think the furnished nurse rental might be difficult with regular rentals in place. I think you'd have to do the whole property, or at least anything that had adjoining walls, because these people tend to get night shifts and tend to sleep all day long.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So for those of you listening, I am going to just kind of scroll through some of the photos that Gretchen provided for her Pueblo furnished nurse rentals. We'll have them on the show notes as well, in case you want to check those out later. But yeah, it's just what you have done to them is just beautiful. We'll kind of go through it quickly just so people can kind of look on their own. But yeah, it looks totally different than the before pictures. So what are you seeing in terms of vacancy, really like returns overall on these?
Well, it's hard to say because we've just, we've just gotten full occupancy. The last unit, which was that unit that you're showing now, the upstairs unit, that just had a renter start this month, in the middle of the month, because it was just finished then. So we have gone through we went through one full rental. The cottage was done first. And we went through a full rental. She had an extension, so that was about 4 months. And then now I have someone new in there who just moved in last week. And now I had someone move in this lower unit. I literally was there Sunday night at 7 o'clock, and she moved in 7 a.m. On Monday.
Wow.
So that was a little bit of a time crunch. I was sending her cell phone pictures because she inquired about another unit that we had rented. And so I said, well, I've got this one coming up. So far they have rented quickly. I've heard some chatter that the travel nurse market could be softening a little bit, but I think it's so far so good. And the returns are great, but it is a lot more work and it's a lot more upfront cost than you would have in a traditional unfurnished space.
What are you guys using for marketing platforms? Are you going direct to the hospital, or do you have an online platform?
There's an online platform called Furnish Finders.
Mm-hmm.
And they are primarily nurse or healthcare professionals. I've gotten some inquiries from construction. I think I'm going to try and keep the front house, because they're adjoining with healthcare. The little house, I could put a construction person in. I just would like everybody to know they need to be quiet pretty much all the time. And I think that, healthcare providers are more likely to do that, rather than, somebody who's in construction, who's bringing a wife and two kids, and, they're going to be loud during the day.
And it's interesting though that you're getting inquiries from construction people, because that puts a little bell in my head that there's development that's going down there. So that also interesting to kind of have a little pulse on that as well.
Yes, and we've gotten a lot of those, and that might also be an interesting niche to fill. you know, as you saw, I kind of decorated with the probably female nurse, you know, very serene, but a little fun, young look in mind. And there might be a market for construction workers.
That's great. How did the rehab of the units go? Because I know you have your team in Colorado Springs. Did they travel down to Pueblo? Did you have to find a new crew? Or
we have not had the greatest luck with contractors. I've got a great plumber. I have a great electrician. I've got a great flooring person. But a general contractor. We started out on the cottage with a person who was recommended to us by a friend who had done a renovation with him. He took a very long time there wasn't that much to be done on the little cottage. The exterior paint, the deck needed to be redone, the bathroom needed an overhaul, and the floors needed to be done, but he wasn't going to do the floors, and it took him probably a good 2.5 months to do that. I mean, part of the issue is we are here and, you know, we go down twice a month, but that was about as much as twice a week. But that was about as much as we could take away from our regular jobs. So that, you know, was a little trying. And we found another contractor to do the front house. And everything went pretty well with that. He got COVID in the middle of it. His father had a heart attack. And so it just took a long time.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot longer than we had planned. But in the end, it's a great project.
Are you managing the move in, move out, stocking the, you know, the cabinets with, you know, new roll of toilet paper, like that sort of thing that is required for a medium-term rental? Or are you guys doing that personally?
Well, we will not be doing it personally. We've only had, like I've said, we only had one turnover so far. So I have had somebody clean that. I think I'll be working with her to fine-tune that process. And I'll have to go down for, you know, first couple times to just make sure everything's exactly perfect, which is kind of what the standard is on this. So, you know, that kind of remains to be seen. Check in with me in a year.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's great. You know, medium-term rentals is something that we've been talking a lot about in Colorado Springs. There's definitely a market for it. There's property management companies that can assist with it. You know, people that are willing to do assistant type work, you know, stocking, shopping, that sort of thing. I think you are the first person that I've come across that has successfully gotten a medium-term rental up in Pueblo. So, you know, I imagine that there's probably not as much infrastructure down there. So it's kind of like a new frontier. So I definitely will check in with you to see how that's coming along.
Yeah, it is. I was very surprised in looking for even carpet and things like that, that there is a much smaller group of options.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Even just for basic materials like that?
Oh, and there's Home Depot and there's Lowe's.
Are you talking on the labor side?
Labor was challenging. Yeah. Even getting landscape people was challenging. I had people not show up. Painting costs have gone way up.
Yeah.
Everywhere, I think.
Yes.
that was something that kind of was a shock to our budget, how expensive it was to paint. I think that little house was more expensive to paint than my personal home that is significantly larger than 700 square feet.
It's with the unexpected challenges and some extra headaches going down to Pueblo, was the juice worth the squeeze? Like going to Pueblo, new market, more headaches. Are you happy with the investment and would you do it again?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No hesitation there.
We definitely would. We're also, my husband and I both work from home, both self-employed, in our day job. So that makes a big difference. If I had been working in an office, and had to report to somebody where I was, it probably would have been much more difficult. We would stay down there. Sometimes I would go down, especially kind of in the last stages of it, because there's so many things you have to buy. All the kitchenware. They're there for 3 months, so they want to be able to bake and, cook, and you really need all those types of things. You need all the linens, and you have to double up on them in case something happens to them. Already the first person who moved out got hair color all over the shower curtain, so I had to pull out my second shower curtain and, put that up. That is definitely an issue. And I think though, overall, it has been a really good project.
What are the basic with the Pueblo property, just incidental turn costs, like the shower curtains, replacing linens? Is it $100, $50, $500 a turn, or do you have enough data yet?
No, I don't have any data. I can't imagine it would be 500 a turn. They would really have to be destroying things.
Okay.
You can't get the damage deposit on those units that you could get on a long-term rental. I think mine are about $350.
Okay.
Which is, one rug maybe.
But it sounds like it's pretty minor. What I've heard from most medium term rental guests is they're very good tenants and minimal issues from what I've heard.
Yes. I don't expect there to be huge issues. We do accept pets, but I have a non-refundable pet fee for that. Yeah. So it's hard to say what the turn costs. I'm kind of thinking we will have to do major refreshes at least every 5 years. And probably things like linens, every year or so even. And I think it will depend on who's staying there, how much they damage. If it's a two bedroom and one person's there, they're not going to use that much. But if they're two or they, three people, then it could be.
Where did you find this property? Did you get it on the MLS?
MLS. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You want to say more on that, Jenny?
No, it's just, it's just funny to me that off market has such a cool connotation to it. But you can find amazing properties on the MLS, and mm-hmm. then especially using a creative lens, as you have done for pretty much all of your properties. You've been able to turn them all into successes. So I would not automatically dismiss something if it's from the MLS, for sure. I've gotten a lot of good properties myself from there. So,
yeah, all of ours have been from the MLS, actually.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, they have. So we haven't had a problem with it. We actually looked at a couple that were off market down there prior to this one, and they just needed way too much, or you couldn't, you can't see upstairs.
Yeah. Well, I kind of need to see half the house. Yeah.
There needs to be a discount if you can only see half the house.
Right. Exactly. They're all, the main house was turn of the century. And then the back house, I think, it's kind of sketchy on when that was built. I think it's the 40s or 50s though.
Okay. Did you uncover any major inspection items on the Pueblo property?
There were not anything major, and the seller was not going to do anything.
Okay.
So he kind of made that clear. We knew the front that we were going to do a huge, refresh on that. So we didn't really, we weren't that concerned.
Yeah. And that seems to be kind of the going parameters for a lot of properties now, that do need some help. They're priced accordingly, and it's a take it or leave it situation. So, you know, just for expectation's sake, makes sense.
Yeah. And we had bid a little less. I think it was on the market for $289.9, and we bid, I think, if I remember correctly, $280, settled on $282, it appraised for $280. And then I think we agreed to want $281 something, okay. $500 maybe.
How did you guys create your pro forma? With this being your first foray into medium-term rental, how did you guys figure out like what a nightly rate would be or a monthly rate? Was it just going on Furnish Finder and kind of scraping the data from there?
Yeah, that was pretty much how I did it. I just kind of compared what they had, what we had. You know, having laundry on site is a big issue, like it always is. How close you are to the hospital, kind of the level of furnishing, what it looks like. Some of them are really nice. Some of them look like a creepy basement where you just go, ooh, I don't know why I'd want to stay there. But they seem to be, you know, doing okay, I guess.
Hey, price it accordingly and someone will take it.
Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, you've built a great portfolio, Gretchen, or you and your husband have. You've done some various investing strategies, found a good niche for you. What's kind of the next step in the business plan, the next step in the strategy for you two?
We're going to hold on almost everything we have. We actually are going to, we're looking to sell that first house and cottage. And we are going to 1031 that into something in Arizona because eventually we'd like to go to Arizona. So we will make that a rental for a while. And then, you know, possibly, you know, move there part-time ourselves after it's fulfill all the obligations with the 1031.
Great. And I mean, I imagine some of our listeners out there are going to jive and resonate with your story, the strategies you've done. What's a good way for listeners and other investors up and down the Front Range to get a hold of you and learn more about your investing?
They could email me. And I think you're going to include that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And I'd be happy to chat with them.
Cool. Yeah, we'll put the contact details, and also your website has some great images on there as well about the properties. I think are very similar to the PowerPoint you were scrolling through, Jenny. So I would definitely encourage people to check that out. And if they have inclination, you know, reach out to you and be respectful of your time, but you know, pick your brain and do some networking because you've done some cool stuff. I've enjoyed this. So thank you very much, Gretchen, for, you know, taking time of your day to come talk with me and Jenny and our listeners. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Anyone out there with questions, you know, all the details will be in the show notes. Reach out to me and Jenny for advice, help, whatever you need on investing. This is what we enjoy doing. And we love connecting with investors, talking to people like Gretchen, and helping people build their portfolios and having fun in the real estate investing space. So Jenny, thank you. And Gretchen, thank you so much.
Great.